Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
You are now tuned in to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, and I'm very happy to be able to address you today over the airwaves. I am Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road, outside of Caledonia in the Bartahatchee community. Our church meets at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. I also welcome you on behalf of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road, in Ackerman, Mississippi. I also welcome you on behalf of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. And we invite you to go to the website that services this broadcast, gospel-of-grace.com, and see the schedule of our church meetings. And also, while you're at it, drop us an email through that website that we sure would love to hear from you. Any questions, any criticisms, we would really appreciate you reaching out to us and letting us know that you're listening. And we also meet at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening at 200 West Garrett Road in the facilities of New Covenant Church in Starkville, Mississippi, 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening. We would love for you to join us. You can also go to Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page, hit like, and activate the notifications, and you can join us for our live stream, 6 p.m. every Wednesday and also 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We have for you a series of messages called Christian Crazy, and we hope that you'll stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back with today's message.
Peace when fears are still, when striving. Thank you, my listening friends, for staying tuned with us here at the Gospel of Grace Radio broadcast. I'm continuing on with a series called Christian Crazy, and this is the fourth message in this installment, and the text that really stirred my mind to speak on this was 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where John writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." When he says the world knoweth us not because it knew him not, it basically is saying the world will not understand you. The world will think you, as the title of this series says, crazy. They will not see and understand why you do what you do and what it is about this Jesus that makes you want to do it. Well, friends, that makes perfect sense, because not everyone in this world feels a weight of sin. Only those who have been born of the Spirit of God and have had the laws of God written upon their hearts, where Jesus is seated in their hearts spiritually, can know. Now they have a comparison. Now they have a relation. Now they're able to see how wicked and sinful they are, whereas before they were never able to see the Lord spiritually high and lifted up. But now in their hearts and in their minds, they're able to contemplate these things after they're born of the Spirit of God. So before we were in a born-again situation, we thought other people were crazy for doing what they did, and now we look back and we're able to understand it more. It's wonderful the perspective that the Holy Spirit will give us. We've talked about many aspects from the Word of God and many crazinesses perceived by the world about God's children. Things that are wonderful, things we read in the Bible and we just are excited about, and would to God that we could be like them. But yet as the world reads it, they would say, yeah, you may think that's noble and good, but I just think that's stupid. Well, they will. They will think you crazy. They will think you absolutely crazy. So I'd like to look at another passage of Scripture along this vein of thought. I go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. We'll read verses 32 through 36 from the Epistle to the Hebrew brethren in the New Testament. "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." So he's saying, look at the good old days. But he said, but really they weren't good old days. He said, after you were illuminated or brought to light, given the new birth, made alive in Christ, given the light to be able to see spiritual things, what happened after that? "Ye endured a great fight of afflictions." Again, that's when Satan will attack you, not unregenerated people. He's going to attack regenerated people mainly. Now, I know Satan loves to inflict pain and agony even on a herd of swine, and he'll also, as he can, inflict pain and agony on even the most wicked, unregenerate human in this world, because that's what Satan loves to do. But he wants to spend the majority of his time, I'm sure, the vast amount of his time, he wants to persecute little humble believers in Jesus Christ just like you. So therefore, they, like we will, endure a great fight of afflictions. "Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions." I mean, they were just cussed out so badly, done so wrongly, treated so harshly by everyone that they were made a gazing stock. People would look at them like a train wreck and couldn't take their eyes away. And then he says, "And partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used." That means that even though the world poured out afflictions on you, rather than change and be more like the world to relieve your affliction, you drew closer to a little flock of believers that were being picked on and harassed and persecuted in the same way. I mean, look, you put your money where your mouth is, right? And this is what these ancient Christians did, and this is what Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. We don't see it and feel it as acutely in America today because we've been so blessed and coddled with great blessings of security and religious freedoms. But other people in the world are suffering this even today. I have a pastor friend in India. There are 32 primitive Baptist churches in India, and they're facing great persecutions over there at the hands of the Hindus. I know pastors in Africa. And from time to time, they suffer great persecutions and sneers and problems from the Muslims. Well, that goes on in other places of the world, and I think we're seeing it happening more and more here in America as this nation. We are a post-Christian nation. We are not a Christian nation by any true definition. We used to be, I believe, but now we are a post-Christian nation. And now secular humanism is the religion of the day, and we Christians are in the minority. So we're going to see more and more of these persecutions. He said in verse 34, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods." Now, it's one thing for you to have compassion of somebody, and I believe the one writing this was the Apostle Paul, who was imprisoned more than once for the cause of Christ. Now, it could conceivably have been another inspired writer, because many were imprisoned in that day. But as I've told you before, I personally believe that there's enough evidence to believe that the Apostle Paul is the unnamed writer of this epistle. So it's one thing for you to have compassion upon one in the name of Christ in their bonds, because still, you're not having to stay in the prison. You can take them their cake and don't slip a hacksaw inside of it or a file or anything. You can take them their cake and then you can leave. So that's a good thing to have compassion of the imprisoned for Christ in their bonds. But he went on and said, you took joyfully the spoiling of your own goods. You aren't just sitting on the bench and cheering from the sidelines. You were in the game, Christians. You were in the game. You meant what you said, and you said what you meant. He said, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now, the promise there is not the achieving or the gaining of eternal life, but the sweet assurance that it belongs to you. And what is it that is needed for these people that are seen by the world as crazy? They had to have crazy focused, didn't they? They were focusing even in the spoiling of their goods, even in the persecutions, even in being made a gazing stock, which nobody likes to be a gazing stock. But they knew in themselves that in heaven, that place had been secured for them, created for them by the thrice holy God of heaven. That heaven that was after a while, that was timeless and without end, was far greater than any little vapor and whisper of time that we suffer through here. Somebody may be saying, Brother Joe, I've suffered for 90 years. I can tell you in the context of heaven, it's nothing and less than nothing. That's not even a drop in the bucket of what awaits you in heaven. And so if we take our eyes off of that heavenly goal, where Christ is seated at the right hand, you know, we're admonished by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. He's seated in heaven for you. See, that's our focus. And our focus needs to be on heaven. Now, I'm not saying be so focused on heaven that you can't be of earthly good. In fact, I think that's a misconception altogether. If you're truly focused on heaven and heavenly things, then you are actively seeking what good you can do and what witness you can give for Jesus in this world. But friends, to take our eyes off of the goal, to take our eyes off of the end game, to take our eyes off of the achievement that Jesus Christ has achieved for us, he's given us as a reward. And I say a reward because of what he accomplished, not because of what we've accomplished. But I thank God Jesus' reward is called our reward. And if you take your eyes off of heaven and you look down at the tempest and the waves that rise around you, truly, you can sink in this world. In Romans chapter 8, it speaks of having that crazy focus, of focusing on what heaven will be like and how much power it can give us in the present sufferings. In Romans 8:18, he declares plainly, "For I reckon," that reckon means an accounting term, that I have evaluated the situation, that I've apprised the situation. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," sufferings, plural, "of this present time." That means if you took all of the sufferings that you've ever suffered or ever could suffer in this time, and you put them in a big suffering sack and put it upon the shoulders of a child of God, He said, "It's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Notice he said the sufferings, all the sufferings of this present time, and I think what he's saying is, are not worthy to be compared with the first instance of glory. When our eyes, our newly glorified eyes, awake and behold the presence of the Father in His glory, to be able to see Jesus who died for us, to be able to see our loved ones who have gone on before, to be able to see the patriarchs and the matriarchs in Christ of old, that very one moment, oh, it'd be so much greater than all of the amplified sufferings that could ever take place down here. Don't ever lose sight of heaven, my friend. Don't ever lose sight, believer in Jesus Christ, that heaven is real and it's on the other side of this existence. It's about a day's journey, less than a day's journey. Jesus told that man suffering on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Friends, don't lose heart. Keep pressing the collar. Keep your focus focused. Keep your eye singly focused on the things of Jesus, and thy body shall be made full of light. Later on in Romans 8, verse 22, he says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." We're all in the same boat, feeling like pilgrims and strangers in this world, believer in Christ. Don't think you're alone. If you ever get to thinking you're all alone, then that means you're not going to church enough. You're not fellowshipping with the saints enough. You're not commiserating with them joyfully. Can you joyfully commiserate? Yes, you can. When your focus is Jesus, you can recognize and acknowledge that you have miseries, but you can also see them overwhelmed and cleansed and relieved and mollified by great joy in Jesus Christ. Go to the church, a good, humble, loving, Bible-believing and teaching, sound, orderly church. I invite you to come to a Primitive Baptist church, but find you a body of believers. Go, little errant sheep, and return to the flock and find comfort there and strength there in the presence of Jesus, our Savior. He said, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." That groaning carries with it the idea of just inexpressible suffering and angst and longing to be relieved from this world. Do you ever feel that way? I mean, do you ever watch Forensic Files, or do you ever watch the political news of the day, or do you ever see the crime report? Do you ever open up the packet and see all the mugshots in there? Some of those people you know, and you know how they were raised and the benefits and the blessings they'd had, and then they squandered it all. And you think about those things you just groan in yourself. "Lord, have mercy and deliver me from this sick and perverted sin cursed earth, Lord. Oh, bring it to a close, Lord." You groan within yourselves. And what does that groan mean? It means you're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, we're already adopted in Christ's body, and salvation is real, and we're already redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What he's saying here is the final culmination of the adoption. The final culmination of an adoption is you go fetch that child. And the final stage of a redemptive process is the one is freed. So when Jesus returns, friends, with a shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, I'll tell you, our adoption and our redemption will reach its culmination. We will see the fruition. We will see the final end, and it will be glory and being led by our Lord Jesus Christ through the gates of heaven, body, soul, and spirit. Don't you lose sight of that, little Christian. Don't you lose sight of that. Don't you get so mired down in this world. Your roots, my friends, don't belong here. Your conversation is in heaven. Your citizenship is on high. That's why the preaching of the gospel as an ambassador of the kingdom of God rung in your heart at some time, and you found an affinity unto it, and you came unto Christ, and you fell down, and you confessed it, and you took up his cross. And I'll tell you, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have not done that, I encourage you to repent of that wrongdoing and do it as soon as you can, listener. Serve Jesus Christ. He's a real king, and there's a real kingdom, and you can enjoy it down here on this world. But I tell you, even down here at its very best, its finest, its most spiritual, it's nothing compared to the fullness of the reality of heaven. What crazy focus we've got to have to be able to look through all the noise and the static and all the angst and the anger and the bitterness and the vitriol, to be able to look past it all, to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up and know that one day we will be with him, fully in him, in his presence and conformed to his glory. He said, for we are saved by hope. That's what this is about. Having that focus, that hope. You know, faith is a trust in the Lord that he'll do what he's said he's going to do. Faith is your God sense. Hope, my friends, is primarily spoken of in the Word of God as a glorious anticipation of living in the reality now of what awaits us with eyes that have not seen it yet. That hope. He said, for we are saved by hope. People have asked me, Brother Joe, are you saved? I said, yes, I believe I am. I have a hope in Jesus Christ. They said, well, you know, that hope doesn't mean anything. You've got to accept him into your heart. You've got to do that. No, uh-uh. I'm not going to listen to that. That's just ignorance gone to seed. Paul said, hope is salvation. Don't you give me that mess. Your hope doesn't mean anything. You've got to do this and you've got to. If you've got a hope in Jesus Christ today, my friends, then heaven is yours and it is a saving grace given you day by day here on this earth. Don't you tell me that hope ain't as good as praying a sinner's prayer written on the back of a tract found in an Exxon bathroom. Balderdash. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. See, hope doesn't mean anything if you've already seen and experienced the fullness. Hope is when you're anticipating that which is to come, which you haven't experienced in full down here. Oh, but friends, we've received the earnest of it. We've received the earnest of the Spirit. We've received tastes of it, foretastes of glory divine. And that hope, my friends, it drives us. It compels us. It's an inward drawing. Oh, in Hebrews chapter 6, it speaks of a tie of the soul and spirit, both sure and steadfast, anchored in the very throne room of God where Jesus, our forerunner, has entered for us. It's a real connection, a communication. Oh, it's better than any FM signal, better than any satellite phone, better than any satellite or laser communication sent out into space. It is a real immediate connection to the glories of heaven. And friends, we've been made to feel it and know it's real. You may have stopped and listened to this. You said, this is the stupidest man I've ever heard. He's talking about imaginary things. Well, let me tell you something. You just might as well go ahead and change the channel, because apparently this message ain't for you. If the Lord hadn't done a work in your heart, what I'm preaching today isn't going to make any sense. You say it's crazy? That's right. It may be crazy to you, unbeliever, God denier, but it's reality to me. And you call me crazy all you want. I'll tell you, if I can be called crazy in the name and in the service of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just like Paul did, just like Peter did, just like James and John, just like all of these saints of old who have lived and died, in the hope of Jesus Christ, anticipating that city that is to come. Here they knew they had no continuing city, but they sought one to come. They knew it was real. They knew they weren't at home down here on this earth. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. Oh, friends, crazy focus it takes, but we got it. And if you've got it today, you hold tight to it and don't you be ashamed of it, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you, you let the world call you crazy for your hope in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That hope is your focus. That hope is your salvation. Oh, that hope, my friends, lifts you up above all the quagmire of this silly world, this silly little sin-cursed, hateful, petty, nanny-boo-boo world in which we live. And one of these days, my friends, the fruition of that hope will translate us off of this realm and take us to glory. And I can't wait for that blessed day. Stay crazy, Christian. Stay crazy according to this world. And until we're able to speak with you again, we love you. And may the Lord bless these truths to your heart today.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30, and tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.